Well, those Corinthians, they were real party animals, it seems. They were wild and crazy folks back in Corinth, from all accounts. They were known for riotous, immoral living. The place was legendary for debauchery. It was sort of the New Orleans French Quarter of ancient Greece. In fact, even in some better English dictionaries, if you look up the word Corinthian, you get a definition: recklessly extravagant, profligate, licentious, dissolute. But that's not what I meant when I called the Corinthians party animals. I meant this other thing. This thing in the reading today, this thing that Paul heard from Chloe's people, this contentious streak in the Corinthian church that seemed to enjoy dividing up into rival factions and competing parties. Petrine, Pauline, Apollonian, and even, of course, the Christian party. Oh yeah, the Corinthians were party animals, all right, and their party spirit threatened to divide the church of Jesus Christ. There's something really sinister about the way that party spirit rises up in the church, and not just way back when in Corinth. There's something scary when the fierce loyalty to a great hero figure, the dynamic missionary, the revered apostle, the gifted and eloquent preacher, when you mix all of that with a fondness for a good fight and combine it with a self-satisfied disdain for others who don't quite get it right, who don't quite say it right, who don't quite qualify, well, the result is a pretty ugly perversion of the church. It's easy to shake our heads and tsk about the Corinthians, those awful party animals and their factious divisions. Wasn't it terrible how they divided the church and claimed allegiance to one or the other of the apostles or ministers? I'm a Peter man myself. Sounds like an echo of the crowds that lined up for the last couple of days to see the Pope. Others cry out, "We're Pauline." Still others wave another flag, shout another name, trump one hero with another. And then, of course, there are those who are too fine for that sort of thing and who piously say, "No creed but the Bible, no name but Christ." They may be on the right track somewhere, but in America, even the name Christian is the name of a particular denomination. Don't you hate it when people do that? Isn't it shameful when Christians carve up the body of Christ into petty factions and rally around human heroes and seem to enjoy it? I'm sure glad Lutherans don't do that. I'm glad you laughed, because that's a joke. It's a sad, true joke. Because obviously Lutherans have been accused, and sometimes with good reason, of being precisely the kind of party animals the Corinthians were. There have been times when people thought of Lutherans as, at best, quarrelsome and divisive and contentious, if not downright sectarian. And it hasn't always been slander either. We may not have a monopoly, you see, on the party animal market, but we have a good chunk of that stock in our portfolio. You've probably all heard Jeff Foxworthy's jokes about rednecks. You know, you might be a redneck if you mow your lawn and find a car, or if you've ever lost a loved one to kudzu. Well, you might be a party animal if you don't know why those jokes about Missouri Synod Lutherans being the only ones in heaven are supposed to be funny. You might be a party animal if You think every argument in the church ought to be settled with a quotation from what Luther says. You might be a party animal if you don't think it's strange that there are 19 Lutheran synods in America, and probably 17 of them think Missouri is too liberal. You might be a party animal if you think people who don't believe the same way you do are somehow just not as smart as you are or as spiritual as you are. Well, you might be a party animal if you look down on others who aren't part of our party and make rude jokes about them the way they used to in South Carolina, where they said, you know the difference between a Methodist and a Baptist? A Methodist is a Baptist who can read. There's something about this party animal's mentality that appeals to us. At least it appeals to me sometimes, and it gets my creative juices running, doesn't it? You can just picture some Lutheran Dante composing his epic poem and peopling the streets of hell and purgatory with heretics and schismatics and errorists of all kinds. There are the Pelagians, both full and semi, together with synergists of all kind being plagued with flies and stinging nettles. And over there are the Pentecostals, forced to divide law and gospel for 10,000 years. Let the punishment fit the crime. Down below are the papists, where they belong. Look further and you'll see row on row of Zwinglians whose pain is only symbolic. Calvinists, crass and crypto, cringe in the shadows and weep over their extra-Calvinisticum. And you, Methodists and Baptists, how you will be thrown into confusion and gnash your teeth when you find that the heavenly worship is liturgical and uses TLH. It's all great fun, and it's so easy to do because I am a party animal at heart. And so are you. Just like the Corinthians, our favorite game, it seems, is sorting out the good guys, that's us, from the bad guys, guess who? We love to beatify our heroes and despise those who disagree. Well, Luther had something to say about this party animal streak in his own followers. In 1522, when the controversy between him and the Pope was hot and heavy and there was plenty of name-calling flying on both sides, this is what Martin Luther said to the people who had begun to be labeled with his name. In the first place, I ask that men make no reference to my name. Let them call themselves Christians, not Lutherans. What is Luther? After all, the teaching is not mine, neither was I crucified for anyone. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 would not allow the Christians to call themselves Pauline or Petrine, but Christian. How then should I, poor stinking maggot fodder that I am, come to have men call children of Christ by my wretched name? Not so, dear friends, let us abolish all party names and call ourselves Christians, after him whose teaching we hold. I neither am nor want to be anyone's master. I hold, together with the universal church, the one universal teaching of Christ, who is our only master. Further, he said, true, by any consideration of body and soul, you should never say, I am a Lutheran or Papist. For neither of them died for you, or is your master. Christ alone died for you. He alone is your master, and you should confess yourself a Christian. But, you knew there was going to be a but, didn't you? But, if you are convinced that Luther's teaching is in accord with the gospel and that the Pope's is not, then you should not discard Luther so completely, lest with him you discard also his teaching, which you nevertheless recognize as Christ's teaching. You should rather say, whether Luther is a rascal or a saint, I don't care. His teaching is not his, but Christ's. Here you must be sure not to speak with slippery, evasive words, but frankly to confess Christ, no matter who did the preaching, Luther or Tom, Dick, or Harry. The person you can forget. The teaching you must confess. The teaching you must confess. What teaching is that? It's the same teaching that Paul reminded the Corinthians of with his taunting questions. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into Paul's name? Well, when you put it that way, of course not. Or as they say in the UP, as if. No divided Christ, one Lord. Christ alone who died for us, one faith, one baptism for the remission of sins. And that beats up pretty hard on the party animal in all of us and gets us into the one holy Christian church where this whole forgiveness and reconciliation thing goes on and on day after glorious day. Is Christ divided? Was Luther crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Walther? No, thank God. Jesus Christ is our Lord, who has redeemed us lost and condemned party animals, purchased and won us with his precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that we may be his own. If one Lord, one faith, one baptism means anything at all, it means that you and I have been dragged in spite of ourselves out of death and sin into the one holy Christian church, which is not ours but Jesus Christ's. True enough, there's plenty of quarrels and factions and divisions and schisms and parties, not to mention the sects and the heresies and the scandals. It's worse than naive to pretend that such things don't exist or that they don't matter. We belong to Him who is the truth, and we are not at liberty to pander to party pious fictions or to pretend that divisions are not real. Yes, there are times and places where you and I have to say no and remain apart from those who confess Christ. At the Lord's altar is one of the places where that happens, and it hurts. Only party animals celebrate when the body of Christ is divided. Those divisions, those times are nothing for us to be proud of or happy about. Christ's people pray for the day when the divisions will cease and his church will be united in the truth. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. The crowds over the last couple of days came up with some catchy little cheers as the pontiff drove by. Things like, John Paul II, we love you. I suggest a different cheer for us today. Die, party animals, die. Arise, Christians, baptized into Christ crucified, and pray for his church. Amen.